Understanding the impetus and context behind the original Alberta Sexual Sterilization Act requires us to go back to the broader question of eugenics and its popularity in the late 18th and early 19th century. In 1865, Francis Galton, Charles Darwin's cousin, came up with this term. He, as a member of a wealthy and successful family, noticed that men of eminent social standing were often related to one another. He devised the science of statistics to study men's families, producing what he called pedigree studies. He argued that biology, rather than wealth or social privilege, caused these men's successes. And he believed humanity could be improved through two processes: positive eugenics, which would be things like encouraging people to have children who were deemed to be fit, and negative eugenics, which meant the discouragement of breeding by unfit people. Galton's ideas were supported strongly by people who were involved in biology and agriculture. Drawing on the work of drawing on the work of Gregor Mendel, who was a monk in the 1820s and had used selective breeding to develop strains of peas with specific traits, eugenicists argued that selective breeding could also produce positive outcomes amongst humans. They seriously overestimated the effects of genes on most human qualities, and conversely, they ignored the effects of poverty, discrimination, and lack of opportunity in reproducing poor social outcomes. At the time that these ideas were circulating, there was a strong fear of race degeneration, which was based on the idea that people of good stock were not replacing themselves, while people of tainted stock were believed to be overbreeding. In Alberta, these ideas were added to in terms of panics over immigration. Canada, at the turn of the last century, really characterized itself outside of Quebec as an English country, and indeed was part of the British Empire. And the immigration of non-British groups did raise certain moral panics that got reflected in terms of who ended up being sterilized against their will in the under the Alberta Act. In addition, Alberta, because of its strong agricultural roots, had a particular interest in keeping the eugenic idea going. The first party in power in Alberta was actually called the United Farmers of Alberta, and they were actually fairly supportive of women in politics and had a branch, the United Farm Women of Alberta, the members of which, or many of the members of which, were active in the Alberta eugenic movement. In particular, Irene Parlby, who was president of the UFWA at one point, became nominated as the first minister in the new UFA government, and her portfolio was the family, and as a result, she came into contact with people whose lives were often fragmented, impoverished, or under significant pressure. And she became convinced that it would be really in the interests of those families if women could limit their family sizes and hence reduce poverty. So some of the impetus of the Eugenics Act was actually compassionate rather necessarily than restrictive alone. Should mention, in addition to the negative and positive eugenics, that a concomitant development in terms of eugenics in Western Canada, at the very least, was the use of passive eugenics. And by this I mean the development of a system of institutions. So we see Michener Center, which was at the time known as the Provincial Training School for Mental Defectives, opening in 1923. And we see Panoka, which at the time was called Alberta Mental Hospital, and it It opens also in the mid-1920s. And there's a strong relationship developed between the institutional directors and the eugenics board, with hearings being held on the grounds of the institutions and superintendents of the institutions actually sitting as continuing members of the eugenics board. So this development, I believe, leads to the targeting particularly of people with intellectual disabilities and mental health issues.